Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. You can also listen to our show as a podcast. Just go out to EWTN Podcast Central. Did you even know there was an EWTN Podcast Central? Well, there is. Go out there and see all the shows that are on a podcast. Just go out to EWTN.com/radio, /podcast, or wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts. Now today, we are welcoming Samantha Stevenson to our show. Samantha is a Catholic convert, an author, a homeschooling mother of four, and a Paul Ramsey Fellow at the Center for Bioethics and Culture. She writes on the intersection of faith, family, and the future, and she is also the voice behind the Choosing Human newsletter on Substack, and the host of a great podcast called Brave New Us, Being Human in the Age of Biotechnology. She is here to speak with us about her book, Reclaiming Motherhood from a Culture That Has Gone Mad, and how biotechnologies threaten to redefine our very humanity. Go out to her website, it's snstevenson.com, to learn more about Samantha. And we certainly have seen the culture gone mad, and we were sharing in the green room back with Samantha, just, you know, being at our pregnancy medical center in downtown Birmingham since 2009, and here we are in 2025, and I would often say, what has happened to femininity? What has happened to beauty? What is happening to women? Well, she's here to give us some great answers as to say, how did we get here? Some days you wake up and you think, the world has gone mad. She's right, she wrote a book about it.
She's spot on. I'm greatly encouraged because she nails it, her diagnosis on things, very clear. And I was driving and I'm saying, you know, that lady doesn't mince words. And I had to look up the phrase to make sure I knew what it was saying, but straightforward, you know, giving you the truth, not backing off, doing it, you know, in sincerity and in love for your own sake. And if we would just heed her critique and the solutions, renewal will come to the church, awakening could come to the land. So we're really looking forward to hearing from Samantha, Reclaiming Motherhood from a Culture Gone Mad. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and our guest today is Samantha Stevenson. She is the author of a wonderful book called Reclaiming Motherhood from a Culture Gone Mad. Go out to our website, snstevenson.com. Well, Samantha, we are excited to have you. We want you first to tell our family a little bit about yourself and your family, and then how did our culture become so mad?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. It's a delight to be here. I have four young children, ages 3, 5, 7, and 9, and we homeschool them in our house. And that's pretty, you know, noisy, pretty chaotic, but just lovely and so joyful and blessed. A lot of times, I think, if somebody else were to put a camera in our house and see the chaos that's going on, they would kind of laugh or just say, like, why? This is what you find joyful. But it really is truly just such a joy and a blessing to be there with the kids every day, and even in their messes, and to teach them, like, messes are not that bad, you know, we can clean up from it. Sometimes God is trying to teach me that lesson through their messes and stuff too. So it's really beautiful to have family life. We live in Idaho, kind of a little bit out of the city, and it's just really lovely. Mm-hmm. And beautiful.
A beautiful place to raise a family from a culture that has gone mad, so you could kind of protect them and raise them up to be holy men and women of God. You have two boys and two girls?
Yes.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, good. So how did we get here? It's 2025. Mm-hmm. How did our culture lose its way in with womanhood?
Yeah, so we can look, I mean, this is kind of chaos has been going on for a while. We could look at some of the developments in modernity and postmodernity and see they're really echoes of early Christian heresies about the body, Gnosticism and Manichaeanism. But if we look at the lies that are through our culture, there's a table in chapter one of the book that kind of compares the lies in our culture with the truth that we have given to us by the church. We can see that these messages that we get, like, life is all about making ourselves happy, however we define happiness, when in reality, life is about receiving ourselves, our identity as a gift from God, and that happiness lies in not in getting whatever we want, but in becoming who he made us to be. Yeah. That is really where joy comes from. So we need to be able to understand these lies. We need to be able to counter them with the truth of the church, which is really eternal and an unchanging truth. But the way that we understand it changes with the signs of the times. And so it's really a gift to be able to have the church, the magisterium, to help us to understand what are those signs of the times? How do we understand what's going on in our culture? Because ultimately, all of these lies stem back to the original lie. You can be like God, the lie from the garden, the father of lies. And Satan really has no new tricks. Mm-hmm. It has a different veneer on it. Yeah. So if we can understand the church's eternal, unchanging truths, then we can work to develop the prudence to figure out how to apply those things for our life today.
You were mentioning in chapter one, the spiritual roots of our madness. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned pages 26 and 27, the books worth the purchase just for all that you got there, the culture's message. You got 25, 30 different things in the church's vision and wisdom. Culture's message, we can be whatever we wish.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Church's vision, we are finite creatures. There is a vision and purpose for our being that lies outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we just see so much of that today, that being what? You know, that we define. Like mm-hmm. you said, the Garden of Eden again, you know, that you will be as God.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where we are. It doesn't matter how nonsensical it is or irrational or mm-hmm. against the laws of nature. You know, I just determine my destiny. Mm-hmm. The destiny. And when I don't know something, I just determine it. And that's just wreaking havoc. I mean, mm-hmm. Like you're saying, what does it mean to be feminine, masculine? And those terms, people only want you to use those terms. Mm-hmm. And so now we're transgender or we have multiple, you know, ways that we define ourselves
mm-hmm.
when everything's pointing in another direction. Unpack that more fully for us.
Yeah, well, so I think some of that has to do with the technology of the age and the way that's shaping our identity or the way that we think about ourselves. We had, you know, Rene Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. Mm-hmm. Well, today we're I am whatever I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, I think, is that we have these technologies like social media. You can make yourself look like anything that you want. You can pretend, you can put up this facade. And that's not even necessarily to talk about the more bizarre forms that can take, but really even as mothers, we can sometimes do that to our own children. You know, we can mm-hmm. look at the veneer that other mothers put on, and you know, we're only seeing the beautiful things, right? Because nobody wants to take a picture of their messy living room mm-hmm. and say, I want to invite you into this mm-hmm. chaos. And so that can be a hard comparison trap to fall into. And then we think, oh, if I just had whatever she has, and it could be her system for cleaning, it could be her recipes, you know, whatever magical formula, because she's got it all together, so mm-hmm. I must be able to attain that. And I think that's really a backwards way of looking at what we're called to be, because we're not called to be entertainment for the masses, and we're not called to use our children as entertainment for the masses. You know, we're really called to give ourselves in self-sacrifice. And a lot of times that, especially in the moment, that isn't pretty, like that isn't beautiful to the exterior, but it's kind of the most beautiful thing that we can do is when we are giving ourselves to our family.
I think in this culture in 2025, it's where we're getting our messaging from, right? I mean, I, as a woman, in growing up in going through my teens and going through my early 20s and 30s and 40s, and I'm getting very old, and in my 60s, where I'm getting my messaging from, the same place every morning, is from the Word of God. And so that defines me. My marriage defines me. My children are, as we say, they're just passing through it, but they define me. So if I'm looking for this world or a career or a degree or this pursuit of something that's going to make me happy, it never will. It's always, it will never make you happy, right? It's when we give ourselves away that we find ourselves. And that is the beauty of being a mother. You know, I can remember being an early mom and it had three babies under two and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm exhausted, I'm probably on 3 or 4 hours sleep and the baby's crying, you gotta get up and nurse a baby, change a baby. And but then in that moment, when I am to the base of who I am as a human being, as a woman, Jesus shows up and says, this is who I made you to be. And it's like, nobody sees this, how many diapers? And it's like, I see you. And so we have to do what we do as a woman for the audience of one, just Jesus.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And do we fail? Yes, we fail. But it is the treasures of life, because the children is the investment, is what you want to get to heaven. Everything else doesn't matter, because that's the goal, is heaven. And so but in 2025, the messages are so different. Like, I can be anybody I want to be. I woke up today, I don't feel like I want to even be married. I don't feel like I want to be a mom. I don't feel like I want to be a woman, right? So tell us about the influence of technology, and is it neutral?
That, you know, that is something that you will commonly hear. You know, technologies are neutral. They're just this tool, and the morality depends on how they're being used. So somebody might say, like a gun, for example, is a kind of technology, and if you're using it to feed your family, that's morally praiseworthy. If you're using it for to harm people, to rob, to steal things, to murder people, that's obviously immoral. And I think that's true of a lot of technologies. I think that's true of most technologies.
Yeah.
When we get into the area of reproductive technologies, and those really start with contraception and abortion, then we have IVF, surrogacy, egg and sperm donation, these kinds of technologies are different because they are really reshaping and redefining what it means to be human. They are really hollowing out the family from the inside out. And the reason that is such an area, the family is such an area of targeted attack, is because we are meant to be, we are made in the image and likeness of God. And God is Trinity. He is this community of persons, this community of love. So that is what we are meant to be. Now with these reproductive technologies, we're hollowing that out and we're saying no to God's plan for the family. And that's really tragic, because we're taking away from that in several different ways. We could get into those more specifically.
It's well said. And, you know, if I didn't receive revelation from the Lord on what you're sharing, community, relationship, the breakdown of humanity. Why? Because some of these biotechnologies are designated to, at all costs, not have a child. You know, like, what does that do to the humanist? What does it do to the relationship of persons? What does it do with the glory of being irreplaceable and avoiding that at all costs? And, you know, we see this at the center, contraception, conceiving.
Against
and,
life.
And I have to have, coming in, well, I contracepted and I'm still pregnant. Therefore, I have the right to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And it just goes on and on. But it's the breakdown of the human image and not looking, you know, for Christ in somebody else, or this interdependency of human life and disrespect for life. Mm-hmm. So that's where these things come into play, right? Mifepristol, right? Mm-hmm. What are the two chemicals?
Mifepristone, mifepristol.
Okay, so that's what's in RU486. Like, what good is that? Because it attacks that which keeps a child alive, progesterone, and it goes after it.
Well, they're chemicals to destroy.
The chemicals, right? To destroy. Mm-hmm. So these aren't like wonderful, but they make like they're wonderful things because you can have control of your life. What about the preborn's life? Mm. So speak more to that, the vision of the natural law as well as the teaching of the church and how beautiful it is. Because somehow we got to get that, have our kids get that so that they say, why would I want to do that? Mm-hmm. That's not beautiful. That's not.
Yeah. So the two relevant church documents that we're talking about here, would, if readers or listeners want to read them, is Dignitas Personae and Donum Vitae.
Yes.
And we could go back to Humanae Vitae if they're more interested in contraception specifically. But what these documents and the church tells us is these technologies are they are intrinsically immoral. So the thing that they're created to do, there's a problem with that. It's not that you could use it and sort of, some people will argue something like IVF, you can, if there's a lot of practical problems with IVF, you know, we don't want to have a million embryos on ice that are going to be donated or just discarded, you know, that's a problem. We don't want to have selective reduction, aka just abortion, when too many embryos are implanted. But in principle, it is a good thing to for a doctor to be able to help a couple have a child. And I do want to say, like, that doesn't say anything about the dignity of the child. The child who's created, it doesn't matter how they came to being, right? Mm-hmm. They still have this this innate dignity. And it is because the church thinks so highly of the dignity of each person that she speaks out on these issues. And also of the desire for the couple, you know, that's a beautiful desire to have a family, to have children. And the problem is that desire doesn't justify what's happening with these technologies. And so in principle, there's a couple of areas we could go into. So there's the reason that it's wrong in principle, and then there's also sort of the atrocities that happen when things go wrong. So in principle, IVF and contraception are sort of like mirror image of one another, because the purpose of the marital act is dual. God has two purposes for the marital act. It's unity and procreation. Right. And when we separate those, we make it something less than it's supposed to be. And that's really what sin is, right? Mm-hmm. We miss the mark is where the word sin comes from. And so by separating those with contraception, you're trying to seek unity and eliminate procreation. With IVF, you're trying to keep procreation and eliminate that unity because a doctor's coming in or third parties are coming in for reproduction. Now in Mexico, they actually have robots that are AI controlled that are doing the actual procedure to create. So there's not even a human being
contact.
It's domination.
At that moment of creating a product. And that's really the heart of why this is such a heartbreaking
issue. We're
going to
take a break at this point. I'm sorry.
Sure, no, that's fine.
So we look forward to several more minutes. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. Reclaiming Motherhood from a Culture Gone Mad. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are wrapping up our conversation with Samantha Stevenson. And Samantha, the things that we were sharing can be so heavy and dark and almost like it's a tsunami, right? Mm. How do we as a people of God maintain hope in this culture of death?
Yeah, you know, it is really dark. It is heavy. Yeah. At the same time, there's probably not a time that we could look to in church history where the people, the Christians, the body of Christ was looking around and saying, this anything but, this is dark, this is challenging. Yeah. And so our job as the church militant is to keep fighting. You know, they are the church triumphant, cheering us on, praying for us.
Yes.
But it's our job to fight this fight. This is the ground where our fiat takes form.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is what we are called to do. But praise God, we are not called to do it alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that is when things start to feel dark, is when we take our eyes off Christ.
Yep.
We start to feel like the waves are really big, and we're being called, like Peter, to go out on the water and to do something that is impossible. But it is nothing is impossible with Christ. And that is the point. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We need to pick up our rosaries, continue to pray. Fathers, take your families to church. We know that you are the number one predictor of kids continuing in their faith. Mothers, we're called to be the guardians of the home in Titus 2. That's what it says. We are the guardians of our home. You know, Satan wants our territory.
Mm-hmm.
It is our job to keep our eyes on Christ, to continue to pray. And a lot of people say, oh, that's a silly answer, or that's not very meaningful to say all you can do is pray. Great, if all you can do is pray, you know, if you're bedridden and all you can do is pray, wonderful, you can do the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing. Otherwise, I mean, how many saints do we have in the church who were cloistered and or hermits? Like,
mm-hmm.
Their vocation was prayer, because it is the most important tool we have in this fight, and the rosary being the foremost of those.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, that is what I would say to people to keep up hope.
Samantha, thank you so much
for
being with us. Thank God we have you tomorrow. There's so much more in this book, so much more that you're doing with your podcast and newsletter, Bioethics at the Crossroads of Culture and Civilization.
Mm-hmm.
You are a gift. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to join us tomorrow. Our conversation with Samantha Stevenson will continue. Reclaiming motherhood from a culture that has gone mad. This is the moment, she said, of our fiat.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time, this is the culture that we are in. We must give our yes. Life, marriage, and the family will prevail.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.